I can have your attention here in the media center and up in the press box here in the wee small hours in the morning at Daytona International Speedway. We are joined by members of our race-winning team for the 18th annual Circle K Firecracker 250 powered by Coca-Cola. We have team owner Matt Collig, team president Chris Rice, and crew chief Alex Jantz. I'm going to start down the line. Chris, let's start. First win for this organization. Big night for you guys.
Huge night, but not only is the first win, 1, 2, 3. I just told Matt riding over here on the golf cart, I said, you know, our first year looked too easy. We made the playoffs with Blake Cook. We made this look too easy. I don't expect it anymore. So it was pretty awesome. Ross Chastain, Justin Haley, AJ Allmendinger, hats off to those guys. But everybody at Collig Racing is what made this happen.
Matt, how sweet was this night for you?
Like, extremely sweet. You know, we talked all week. Actually, we've been talking for a couple months about just trophy hunting. That's what we've been calling it, just trophy hunting. And we said if at Talladega we had two cars in the race, and if we didn't wreck them, then we'd run a third. And the only reason we didn't run four today is because we don't have enough cars.
Exactly.
So, no, Ross ran a great race. Really proud of him. Really proud of the whole team. Chris, Alex, I mean, everybody involved. Did a great job, and couldn't be more proud. First win. We're at Daytona.
Alex, about you?
Oh, this is amazing feeling. Like, I kept looking around at the car chief and Chris, and I was like, is this really happening? This is really happening. Not only did we win, but Collig Racing just finished 1, 2, and 3 and swept the stages. Like, I mean, it felt like it was a dream, and obviously a dream come true for sure.
The dream come true season continues for you, Ross Chastain, winning driver. Walk us through your win.
Man, I can't walk. I don't know. It's all a blur, but it all starts with people. I mean, it's not just a PR thing you say. It's, for me, this is what it's all about. It's all about the people and the people that got me in this car. And then Matt Collig, Chris Rice helping put all this together is, man, it's just, it's great. It's what the good Lord puts in front of you, and he put these people in my path for no reason that any of us saw coming, and it's all for a greater reason, and I'm good with whatever he gives, and it's been the darkest of times, but it's also been the best times of my life this year. And getting to work and getting, I mean, like Chris said it earlier, 5 years ago or so, me and him were fighting for, you know, just mad at each other all the time. Like, physically, I thought we were going to fight, and when this whole deal came together, he called me and said, come up to the shop. We're talking alone. Nobody else was there. We stood in the middle of the shop. He explained his side. I explained my side. We shook hands, and we said, we're going to go take over the world. And that's what Matt Collig wanted to do with us. He wanted us to go win trophies, go trophy hunt. And I think I'm going to drive this car and take it up to your house, because I don't think I'm ever going to get the right to drive this car again, because I think it's –
oh, it's done. It'll never race again. You'll see it in a museum at Collig Racing. It ain't racing. We can build some more. Didn't you see them other two?
Fast. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know how to describe my race. So, I mean, super aggressive. Almost wrecked down there in one with Justin. That's just how you have to be. And I told these guys at the beginning of the year, especially after the first Daytona race, I said, if you seeing how much track position meant, if you want me to race for the win, we may crash on lap 5, and they were good with it. The only thing was, don't crash with your teammates. So at least leave somebody out there for Collig Racing to go win. So bringing three cars here was unprecedented. We got 16 car in victory lane. I mean, it's incredible.
Good deal. We're going to open the floor up for questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll get a wireless mic to you. We'll start with Matt and go to Christian.
Matt Weaver, Auto Week. I'll start with Ross, and then I have one for everyone else too. Early on in the race, I'd say into the first stage, whenever it was, you and Tyler had kind of got together racing for the lead, kind of walled him a little bit, but it felt like you were driving pretty darn aggressive. Were you trying to make that statement early on that you're not lifting, you're not getting out of the way, you're going to make them take the win from you?
I think you got me mixed up with that Kawasaki guy. So, yeah.
But you guys were driving aggressive.
Well, yeah,
though.
You have to, man. Yeah. And his car was so fast. Obviously, he qualified on the pole, but we were just as fast, and I just had to keep him behind me. And I was just really late on that block. Honestly, I wasn't aggressive enough. If I'd have been aggressive, he would have never got to my right rear. And once we got up there and got hooked, I was almost full lock left, just trying to stay off of him. But we were really tight at that point, and they did make a good adjustment when we put two tires on or whatever you did. Thank you, because it was better the rest of the race. But, yeah, I mean, you have to be aggressive. There's no other way around it.
And for Chris and Alex, the Daytona 500 this year, Hamlin, Gapehart, and Lambert had won that race, and it was kind of a cool story because it was three late model guys coming to win the biggest race in stock car racing. And this is kind of similar because, Chris, you're from a late model background, crew chief. Your whole life has been short track racing, and Alex, yours as well, Martinsville 300 winner. For you guys, a bunch of short track guys, Ross, short track guy too. You've worked your way up the ranks. There's a bunch of blue collar guys coming to win at the World Center of Racing, and Matt kind of put that together. So just for all four of you guys being, you know, blue collar, hardworking guys winning at Daytona.
Yeah, it really is. And it's no secret what we're doing here. You know, Alex Shantz is a fresh crew chief, and he's under he'll vouch for it. He's under my wing, and we're taking his 10 car, and we're going to next year hopefully run full-time with it, with Alex Shantz crew chiefing it full-time. And then I'm going to stand behind all of these pit stalls and complain to all these crew chiefs. But right now he's – you know, we're taking this car, and with Ross's help, we're just mentoring a crew chief that deserves a shot, or a racer that deserves a shot, and that's what we're doing with Alex. And he works real hard on this car, works real hard on the 11 car, so it's been fun to take a late model racer like Alex. I used to really despise racing him back in the late model days, but now I love him because he'll push every limit. There he is, so it's been fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty surreal that we just started this thing 4 years ago. And, you know, I had a dinner one night was with Blake Cook and with Chris Rice, and we kind of went through what it would look like to actually own a team, or what you need to start a team, and how much money it costs and everything else. And, you know, we put that on hold based on a lot of different things for about 5 months, and then we got back together in November, December of, I don't even remember what year.
Yeah, it was 16, 15? Right,
so this is our fourth season, and so it's just really cool to see how everybody's grown. So Alex and Chris and Micah and Lenny, and I mean everybody we have at Colic Racing. Now we've got a big old race shop, and, you know, again, we finished 1-2-3 at Daytona in our fourth year. So it's cool. I like the marketing aspect of it. I like the sponsorship aspect. I like the business end of NASCAR. I think it's a great sport. These guys are racers. I didn't grow up racing. But, you know, in being able to showcase Lee Filter, and now we had Ellsworth Advisors, our financial services business, on the car for the first time, I think that's a good luck charm. But that's what I like about it. And the fact that we get trophies and we get to win and just keep growing our business and our businesses is what I like about it.
It is, man. You hear what he said. He likes the business in NASCAR. You have to like it to make it work, and he makes it work, and he does incredible things behind the scenes to make us available to be able to bring race cars to the track, period, let alone fast race cars that all qualify good and all race good. But, yeah, just I grew up racing at New Smyrna. Back up from that, I was a kid, and we camped outside Turn 1 in the mud. We'd go over to Home Depot, get all their pallets, and then buy plywood and outdoor carpet, make a floating dock. And, like, that's not even, like, spinning it good. It was terrible out there. And, like, it was hot. Always a rain delay. Like, you just know it. And we were just race fans. And then 12 years old, my dad wanted to get me into racing as a hobby. And we start racing over at Punta Gorda Speedway, which is now 417. And then turn 17, 18 years old, come run New Smyrna Speedway 2010 and 11. Win World Series of Asphalt Stock Car Racing in the last limited late model division series they ever ran there against guys we should have not have beaten. It was the same story back then. Like, we ran a 1,000-pound spring and an 1,100, and I had to run across the apron in 3 and 4 to make that thing turn every night, and we qualified on the pole, and we won three races that night or that week, and we won the championship, and that's when we realized we should look at NASCAR. But, yeah, we've all came from the same thing, and we've all watched Daytona, you know, casually as race fans or once we all got into racing. I know I bet when you were running late models, you watched the Daytona races and, like, man, I want to get there.
Yes.
And you're freaking here, man.
It's a dream come true. It really is. I mean, it just, like I said earlier, it doesn't even feel real yet, you know. And, you know, watching Ross, and it kind of sounds like Ross and Chris had a little bit of the same relationship Chris and I had, so which makes the story even funnier, and we hadn't really looked back at that yet. But, I mean, it's just an amazing feeling to take what Matt and Chris started from nothing, and then, like you said, 4 years later, 1-2-3, and sweep the stages. I mean, it can't get any better than that, and it just says – says so much about what they've built and how strong of a race team and shop we have. And it's just it's a great thing to be a part of.
Hey, look, I won Martinsville with Elliott Sadler in the 16 car, and we didn't make it out of Martinsville before we got thrown out. So I can tell you, winning Martinsville is not like winning Daytona. I'll go ahead and tell you, Daytona's way big.
It is. I mean, and it's been so long ago. Like, tonight, freshen my racing drive back up, you know. It's like, I think I was happier tonight to see Ross and our whole college racing team finish 1, 2, 3 than myself driving and any of my career wins.
Go next to Christian, then to Bob, then to Dinah.
Christian Coley, frontstretch.com. This question is for both Matt and Ross. Matt, you started out with TriStar Motorsports as lead filter, and it just kind of built into what it is today. You know, how much of a message do you feel like this sends to other sponsors that, you know, there is an opportunity to grow in a sport and there's an opportunity to build your product in the sport? And Ross, how do you deliver this message that, you know, you're a driver that can be sponsored and that you can really deliver a great view for that product?
You know, with Leaf Filter, so we started doing this, what, 7 years ago, and actually started, I don't even remember, was on the 32 car in the Cup Series. And so we ran two races just as a sponsor, and then for a couple seasons in the Xfinity Series with Blake Koch. And we loved it. We had great employee engagement. Our customers loved it. We were growing our business. So I was using it as a platform, as a marketing platform, just to become a national brand. And I think we were accomplishing that. But then being entrepreneurial, you know, I wanted to do my own thing. So that's really why we started a race team, and so that we could have more control, actually, of what we do. But I think the sport's great for branding. I think it's great if you know how to utilize it. We utilized the Fan Zone, and we did great things online with our digital marketing department and everything else. So, you know, I'm the biggest advocate of anybody for bringing sponsorship into the sport, but you have to be able to use it right. And I think we do a good job of using it right, like winning trophies.
I think you touched on it, and to kind of touch on your deal, like what Blake helped lay the groundwork for at this team was incredible. I watched him meet y'all, basically, and then run with y'all as a sponsor, then start building the team and talking with him and being friends with Blake, and then not being friends with Blake because we were racing each other really hard, and people tend to not like me when I race them hard. So I understand that. So me and Blake kind of got where we didn't talk as friends anymore, and that's fine. That's racing. But I still was watching, and I was still watching what they were building, and I was really jealous, but I never would admit it. I'm not admitting it now at all. But you want to be a part of people that are doing great things, and this deal was not by my making at all. This was by chance. I put a lot of stuff into the Lord, and a lot of things had to go wrong on both of our sides, on all of our sides, for us all to end up here. And you look back, and you can never write a book and lay it out. You can never lay out the right way to be a NASCAR driver, a NASCAR owner, NASCAR crew chiefs. There's no right or wrong way, but we've all gotten up and fought. And I know it's easy to sit up here after you win at Daytona and say that, but that's just what it takes. Even to be in this field of 38 cars tonight, you had to get up and fight every day. And that's what Blake did. That's what we've all done. And that's what every driver before me and after me at College Racing will have to do to be successful.
Go to Bob, then to Dinah, then the gentleman in the blue vest.
Bob Hockrist, Fox Sports. I have two, and I swear Ross didn't tell me to ask this, but Matt or Chris, if you guys have an opening for next year, is Ross a candidate?
I'll definitely answer that, and Matt will be fine with me answering it. You see Nutrinex Solutions on Ross's suit. That's not by fault. He's wearing that suit for – we're working really hard to bring that sponsor into NASCAR. Like, it's a brand-new sponsor, and we're working really hard. And if we can get Nutrinex Solutions or any partner to come along with Ross, we would absolutely love to have Ross. We're a team that probably can do it economically better than some of the other teams, and we're going to race with them because Matt works so hard and brings in other sponsorships. So, yes, we want Ross Chastain to drive the 10 car. Or if we can have three, or Matt keeps telling me he wants to have nine, and I'm like, no, we can only have so many. Our shop's only so big. But, no, we would love to have Ross. Nutrinex Solutions is a great partner of Colic Racing, and we're looking towards the future with them.
And, Ross, any second thoughts now about changing the points to trucks?
No, I mean, we talked through all this, and
that's
we knew all this was a possibility. Thanks, Bob. no, man, I wouldn't trade anything for the world. I mean, it's all happened for a reason. And these guys stuck with me through all this, and I talked with Chris a lot about all this. No, I mean, you can look at it glass half full, glass half empty. I've always been a glass half empty kind of guy, but everything happened for a reason, and I feel like every decision that was made by myself or for me when my hand was forced led me to right here, and I'm good with it. So I will never will I have a second thought about how we went about this. We can keep building on the future with Collig Racing and Nutrien Ag Solutions. They came into my life when everything was great, and when everything went down, they were still there, and that's what brought me here to Collig Racing. And the people involved with that out in Denver, and Elliot Sadler and Brett Griffin, I mean, it's, why does Elliot Sadler care about me? I don't know, but he does. And he told me before, when everything was great, that we were going to have a good season. And then when everything went down, he said, man, I'm telling you, you're going to be fine. We're going to get through this. This will just be a blip in the radar. And it's really meant the world that my family, I mean, you look in the back of this room, a lot of my family's here. This is a race where we can come to. It's about 4 hours from the house. And Elliot Sadler, these guys at Collig Racing, they are like family. Before the win tonight, we were like family. So no regrets.
Dinah Pulver with the Daytona Beach News Journal. And I have to admit, part of my question is kind of a dare, because I was a runner-up for the Miss Watermelon Festival one time, so I know all about watermelons. I wanted to know what kind of watermelon it was tonight, and did it literally come from your farm? And then if you would just talk about what you were thinking as you drove that last lap.
Yeah, my brother is right back there. What, you know what it was, Chad? He flew it over from Cordial, Georgia this morning.
What kind of?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
Everything's a little
blurry. So it was made something up right there.
It was probably one of the, honestly, a lot of ours don't even have names anymore, but it was probably a 7187 variety.
Those are delicious.
So that's not the fun name. The important thing is that we brought it over. Chad's 20 years old. He's working at the farm over in Cordial down in Tifton. And it's all we know, and it's crazy how I say it's sad, but it's not. We love going to the farm and farming. We've done it for 8 generations with watermelons, and 12 generations. When you get back that far, it's tough to see what all was going on. But 12 generations of farming in our family, and it's all we want to do. We want to get up. We want to go to the farm. When I was growing up in school, it's not. I say it again and again, but not PR words up here. I wanted to skip school to go to the farm. Just like these guys wanted to skip school and work on race cars when they were growing up. It wasn't until I was 12 that I fell in love with racing. We have watermelon queens all over the country that support us, and I'm going to take watermelons everywhere I go with me. And Nutrien Ag Solutions, being leading the field both on the racetrack and in the watermelon field and every field across the world, they are giving us the means to build fast race cars, but they're also giving farmers the means to grow good watermelons and to grow every crop across the world. It's crazy. The last lap. That's a blur. Our car was so fast, guys, that they could not catch us. I did not feel comfortable running around the top. I thought that was a slower way around. Once we got ripping up there with our teammate behind us, I mean, the pack was catching up, but they didn't have enough momentum when they got there. And then somehow they all jockeyed around there, and AJ got to third. And at that point, I knew it, that we were gonna win. I knew Justin was going to make a move, and he kind of did. But he was really kind as well. He could have been... we could have, you know, pushed the issue there. So, real team player, you know, he didn't cross the line, pun intended. And, he won this race last year, so he knows how to do it. He put himself in position again. It was all by chance that we got clear to the lead at the end, leading down to the last lap. And then the last lap, man, the car was just so fast. We were ripping around there where they couldn't catch us.
My man in the back there.
Vipul Talang, the Avion newspaper. Hey, so for the four of you, what is it like for knowing that this is the last July race, and if that makes it any better, that's the 4th of July weekend?
Whoa, I didn't even think about that.
It's cool either way.
All I can
they
say...
They can run it in December, I don't care. Yeah.
That's probably the last firecracker, I guess, trophy, huh?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even... Thanks. Yeah. Oh, we'll talk to you later. Come see us. Well, I don't know. Give us a minute.
We'll come up front here to Zach, and then we'll go to Jerry.
Yep, Zach Albert, NASCAR.com, for either for Chris or for Matt. Kind of two parts. What was the effort like to make this a three-car run for this race? And was there any kind of teamwork or like a team meeting beforehand to really try to make teamwork happen as the race played out?
So we finished at Talladega, and I'm fortunate to have a motorhome. We went back to the motorhome, and I looked at Matt, and I said, okay, we're going to run three. He said, are you joking me? I said, nope, you've always asked me to. We're going to run three at Daytona. That means they won't be fast in practice. And he really didn't. He looked at me like I had two heads. He's like, okay. And then to make all this happen, we had, I don't know, 20 rooms, and, you know, we had half the plane, and it was just a lot of people. To make this happen was kind of overwhelming. If I didn't have some of the support that I have that listens to me when I have bad days, it would have been tough. But, no, it was overwhelming. And yes, we did have a meeting, and I was very, very, very clear with all three drivers. I think he can sit there and attest for this, but I was very clear that Justin Haley is running for points. Do not wreck him. He is our, you know, guy that we want to win a championship. But if you can race hard the first 90% of the race, help teammates out. But when it's 10 laps to go, you're on your own. Well, I think 7 to go, Ross passed. But he got back up to help Justin. So I was just very clear with all of them because I want all three of them in our camp for many years. But I want them to understand and respect what Matt builds, and that we're going to build all three of them fast race cars. Justin's race car tonight was Ross's 10 car that he had been running for the last couple races. And this car that Ross ran was a backup car. And actually, AJ ran Justin's car, and that's just the way we are. Matt owns every car, and we want all of our drivers to listen, and they did. That even at the beginning of the year, Ross pushed Justin to a stage win, the first race here. If you don't know this, but Colley Racing swept every stage here this year, which we're pretty proud of, and now we won a race. The only thing we missed was winning the first race.
Jerry
Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. Matt and Chris first. He says three cars. You say nine, but we do come back here in February. How many cars are y'all going to? Oh, you said four. How many are you going to bring in February first?
I don't know. I mean, we want to.
Do I need to leave the room?
You know, it's easy. I mean, you asked before, you know, how hard it was, and it was really hard for these guys. It's one thing for me to sit back. I live up in Ohio, so I don't even live down by the race shop. These guys are, they kind of, you know, Chris runs the team. And, you know, it's one thing for me to say, hey, let's do three cars. Let's take three cars to Daytona or Talladega, or say four. But they just kind of figure out a way to make it happen. And they do an amazing job. And I don't, they always hide it from me about how hard it is or how much they fight and how hard, you know, I mean, they show me how much overtime and everything else they use. But they do an amazing job, and so I can't say enough about the effort that they give, and so I'm really happy for these guys and everybody at Colley Racing and everybody that's been a part of it, that we actually got a trophy, and all the hard work is actually I don't want to say paying off, but it's really paying off, and we're getting there.
To answer your question, our goal is to run two full time. We want to run two full time every race. Austin Craven sitting over there is really working hard on us having an all-star car, just like we're doing with the 10 car. And we want to run four in July and February. That's our goal. It definitely is all situational. But if we can get the sponsors to buy in and get people to support us, we want to run four. We don't want to run four full-time, and we don't want to run three full-time. We're geared up to run two, but we definitely would love to run four if we could get the sponsors to make it happen.
Thank you. And Ross, the roller coaster ride, you probably experienced more ups and downs this year than Disney World. So take us through that. How do you survive?
Man, I wouldn't trade it. I mean, the tough days are terrible. You know, you just get in the truck and go drive. It sounds weird when you say it, but like, my dog doesn't care when I go back to the motorhome if I win or if I finish last. Like, he's going to be happy no matter what. I got a fifth-wheel camper with a golf cart and a truck I pull around, and it's just it's what I like to do when I can. I'm going to go on the road here for a few weeks and fly back to Charlotte when I need to, but I'm going to drive it probably the next seven races and just fly, you know, get it to the next track, fly back to Charlotte for a few days, fly back to the track. But it's just, you just get up and fight. And like, December, bad, real bad. But went home for Christmas, New Year's, talked with my family. A lot of them are here. Some of them couldn't make it, but they all thought there was a way we could make it work. And I kind of agreed with them after they said it enough. And so January 2nd, back up to Mooresville, hitting the pavement with these guys. B-First was putting together this program for me to come over here and run some races. Everybody at Spire was putting together stuff for me to help me get in everything I could get into. We were like, okay, we're back on the market of, but it's January 2nd. How do we land on our feet? How do we run as many truck races for Nice Motorsports? How do we run as many Xfinity races and cup races? And just how do we do this? And so it took all of, once I got back up there, and I was talking with them along the way, but they all were like, it's okay. We're going to get through this. And I can't say I believed it at the time, but I believe there was a light and there was a chance. So obviously coming out, then, you know, switching over points to the trucks, talked with Chris through it, got his blessing, got the group's blessing that was the right move. And, you know, obviously had some success there. And then, I mean, it just means the world that they stuck by me and gave me an opportunity to come to Daytona with a race-winning car. I'm telling you, that thing was so fast. It's insane. So I know there's going to be more bad days. That's what I expect. It's, I guess this ride is just Ross Chastain AF. I told him get that thing through tech. Of course, you're always worried to tech now.
I don't know. A couple of people just walked in. Casey LaJoy is our he's our lead video guy. Corey's little brother and Randy LaJoy is. Did we make it through tech?
We still good at the moment.
Hey, we made it through the height sticks, Ross. You didn't even make it through the height sticks.
The low rider. No low riders tonight.
Well, gentlemen, congratulations on the victory. Go enjoy some watermelon for breakfast and have a great night. Thank you.
Thank you guys for what you do for the sport.
Yeah, thank you all for being here at 1:45.